Friends, I'm turning this evening to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll be reading from verse 5 to 7. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And tonight we are looking at one of the important virtues that as Christians, as believers, we are here to cultivate. That is patience. So our topic for this night is cultivating patience. The last time we had the opportunity, we looked at one of the virtues, which was godliness. And we saw that that passage was part of a larger passage when Apostle Peter was exhorting believers to add to their faith. Because they have faith already, but to their faith, there's necessity to also add all these virtues. And as he said, then they will be fruitful and effective in our walk with God. So it's very, very important. Even though you are saved, you have faith, you need these virtues to help you in our walk with God. Which means without these virtues, our walk with God will not be complete. So he wants us to add all these things to our life. And then in verse 10, he goes on to say that these things will make your calling and election sure, and it shall never, never fall. Which means in doing these things, one will never stumble. And then when you go to verse 11, he continues to say that a promise, a rich welcome to the eternal kingdom. For he said that, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here he's saying that you need these virtues to make your calling sure. You have been called. You are predestinated and you have been called into the kingdom of God. But then you need all these virtues to make your calling sure. And then your entrance to an everlasting kingdom which is in heaven also sure. As I said last time, if you look at this at the surface, you will think that you see that Peter is addressing people who already have faith. Because he said that to them that have obtained life precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he lists faith as the fundamental quality which every believer has. But to their faith, you will add all these qualities to make your calling and election sure, and to be strong and to grow in grace and in knowledge in our walk with God. So it's very, very, very important. Because the last time we looked at godliness and we saw how God used men who were so eager to serve him, who were so committed to serving God, and how God mightily used them. We'll look at some of them this afternoon. We were talking to our Sunday school children about David and Goliath, and that was my example the last time we met. The same thing. We saw the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites, and then David and Goliath. How was David able to conquer such a mighty warrior? So, by the power of God. And it's because he worked with God sincerely and truly. And the same thing we talk about Enoch, how he never saw death, because when he was alive on earth, he also walked with God. So this also extends to us. Moses and the rest, they all went through that same thing. So now today we are looking at the virtue patience. And this is a very, very, very important virtue. Friends, some of the sins that we commit on this earth, even though we are believers, come from impatience. When you are impatient, it can lead to a disaster, can bring a lot of problems, both spiritually and physically, without patience. So it is a very, very important virtue that we are going to talk about today. And like I said, the road to impatience always leads to spiritual disaster. And when it goes to Galatians 5:22 to 23, he lists these virtues there as well. But over there, he lists them as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Meaning that it can only come from the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. You remember, as believers, when we are saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So it is this Spirit that helps us in our sanctification, in our walk with God. So here, he's called it the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit in you that will enable you to cultivate all these virtues. Because he alone is the source and supplier of patience. We can never cultivate or achieve this patience without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, as we all know, is the third person of the Trinity. It's God. And he is the one who has that patience. He is the one that can supply us with that patience. In Romans chapter 15, verse 5, we learn that he is the God of all patience. He refers to God as God of all patience. So as we are filled with the Spirit and we stay connected to him, Christ said, if you abide in me, so when we are filled with the Spirit and we abide in his word, we stay connected to God, then all these virtues will be ours, and they will be stronger. We will grow in grace and in knowledge, and God will use us mightily for his work on this earth. People will see the difference in our lives. As I mentioned the other time, when I was listening to Pastor on one of the Bible studies, when he said that there's nothing that can be compared to being in a church where God's presence is. If you are in a church, when you know that God's presence is there, there's nothing that can be compared to it. And how can we obtain or achieve that? It is only by we having all these virtues and living as God wants us to live, sincerely and truly from our heart. We are humans, we can err. But then, if we really work it out with his help, we can achieve this. And then we can be sure that God will be among us. Without these things, God will never be with us. So it is very, very important that we learn these virtues, and especially for today's one, patience. As I've already said, through impatience, sometimes we do sin. And the devil knows this. So he tempts us that we may fall. But if you are patient, you can defeat him, because you will be able to exercise restraint over what he wants you to do. So this is a very important virtue, friends, that we must take good care of, good note of. And like I said, if we are connected to God, then we'll be able to know and experience his patience. Because in the same way as we can manufacture the other virtues, love, joy, and so on, we can't do it on our own. So we certainly can't pretend to have patience when we don't. You can't have patience without the help of God. And I'll show you why it is like that. Now, what is patience? When we say patience, what do we mean by patience? In the English dictionary, they would define patience as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoying or anxious. See, the capacity to tolerate or accept delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoying or anxious. Then biblically, when the Bible talks about patience, what it means is that a calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. For the believer, because you know that God is in control, you can have patience. Because no matter how long it takes, you know your God. If you only know him, and you have experienced him, because there are so many reasons why God allows us to go through some problems. And if we are going through and we have patience, then we will be trained, we will be strengthened through the suffering that we are going through. If we try to get out on our own, it will lead to a disaster. So it is the calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. We know that God is in control, but we all know that it's not easy to be patient. Why is it not easy to be patient? Because now patience is very, very rare in our life in these days that we are. Why is it like that? That we don't have patience. There are two, I will just give some two reasons here. First, this goes against our human nature. It's part of our depravity. Remember, we all know when Adam and Eve were created, he said they were perfect. They were having God's image. So God's patience, they also had that same patience. But right from the fall, we developed this impatience in our life. And it started right from us who were babies. You see examples of babies. They don't have patience. When a baby is hungry in the night, and even when the parents are sleeping, the baby cannot say, I'm waiting till mom and dad or whoever wakes up to feed me. No. They want it right and right there. And that is part of our lives. Our human depravity. We can't wait. We want to have our demands at the time that we want it. It even extends to prayer. Some of you may know how our other friends pray. They pray and demand it now. They stand and tell God that they want it now. They can't wait. They want it now. Even if God says wait, no. But we know that when you pray, there are three things God can give you instantly. And I'm sure many of you have experienced this, that God sometimes just give you exactly as you ask him. Sometimes he will say wait. Sometimes he will say no. And in all of them, being God, knowing that he's in control, he has a reason. And the reason will always be the best for you. And because of our depravity, we can't wait. We want things, and we want it right and right now. The second thing is also is contrary to our culture, our way of life. We find it difficult to be patient. I'm sure some of you who drive, sometimes when you come to even a traffic light, and you are all waiting for the light to go green, as soon as it goes green, you hear people honking. See, they are in a hurry. And if you are not lucky and your car goes off, then you are in trouble. How people will be yelling at you, shouting at you. It shows our culture. There's no patience. We are always in a rush. One Bible commentator said that impatience is a form of unbelief. And it is true. I agree with him. If you are not patient, then you don't believe in God. Because if you are praying to God, and God says wait, and you can't wait, then you don't believe in him. Because if you believe in him, you know that no matter how long it takes, God will supply you what you need. And his time, people always say God's time is the best. And yet when it comes to prayer, or they want something from God, they can't be patient. Because they think they need it right now, they can't wait. And it's a very serious thing. So he said that impatience, that is lack of patience, is a form of unbelief. That is what we begin to feel. Even when sometimes you go to a grocery shop and you want to pay for your goods and there's a queue there, you become impatient. So many things, so many areas of our life that we become impatient. Sometimes when you are faced with a health problem, that is even more than anything. When you are sick and you are praying to God to heal you and God is not healing you, you become impatient because you are feeling the pain. But one thing you must know is that when you are feeling the pain, the one who created you, the one who controls all the organs of your body, he also knows. So if you are praying and he hasn't answered you, there is a reason. And you must be able to wait until the right time. Sometimes it comes from stress from our job side. Sometimes there will be something that you may be going through and you pray that God should take you out of that or take that problem away, and it's not going away. You have to wait. Because as we have already said, God's time is the best. Sometimes too, it's like a family friendship, something going on in the family, and you can't wait to have it resolved. All these are the reasons why God wants us to wait. We can choose to wait for God, or we can decide to bail out. But like I said, when God wants you to wait, there is a reason. By the time God takes you out, you understand it, why he kept you waiting. Maybe if he had given you at that time, you don't know what was going to happen. So if God tells you to wait, you can wait. Either you wait and go by his pace, or you try to build out on your own. And like I said, it always leads to disaster, physically and spiritually. So friends, my prayer is that after this evening's lesson, we all learn how to be patient, especially when it comes to our work with God. And what does this patience do for us? So I'll talk to you about the truth of the patience. It helps us to trust God's timing. When you have patience, it will help you to trust God's timing. And like I said, after he has taken you through, you now understand why he did that to you. And I know most of you have experienced this personally. I can also testify there are so many things that have rushed, and I know where it led me to. And there are things that have waited, and I know where it led me to. And I'm sure all of you can testify this, that if you have time, if you wait for the Lord, he will always bring good things to pass. In short, the key to having patience is to hold on to God and then slow down. You have to hold on to God. That's why in the definition I said, because God is in control. That is why you can have patience. In Luke chapter 21 verse 19, he said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. What is the meaning? What he means is that by standing firm, you will gain life. That's what he means by saying that in your patience, possess ye your souls. Which means by standing firm, you will gain life. Christ is telling us here that even in times of great trouble and persecutions and all that, we are yet to let patience possess our souls, because that will lead to life. So he's teaching us that the way to get through any adversity, any accusation, it can be an accusation, people can accuse you wrongly, accusations and emotional instability, all those things, the way to get them out is to get through patience, to let the patience that we already have in our spirit rule our souls. Otherwise, it will lead to a disaster. I will also give you another quote by another Bible commentator. He said, patience in well-doing is the fruit of faith, and impatience is the ugliness of unbelief. True, if you are impatient, it means you don't trust God. You don't believe in God. Psalm 130 verse 5 and 6 help us to see the connection between the promises of God and the patience of the believer. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You see, in the Old Testament times, when somebody talks about waiting for the Lord, it's a way of describing patience. It's the opposite of impatience. When you say waiting for the Lord, it is in contrast with giving up. Saying, I've waited for so long and I'm giving up. No. We can never underestimate patience that God wants us to learn. So whatever we may be going through, we have to say and say that it is going to get better. God is in control. God will give me whatever I ask for at the right time. And in Psalm 130, as we just read, you can see that in the midst of the waiting, the psalmist said he finds hope in God's word. In waiting, he finds hope in God's word. So God is everything in the Bible. It's for us. What was written in the past is for us. So the word of God is there. So when you are waiting, he says that it will make you find hope in the word of God. It means when we put our hope in the word of God, we will see the fruit of patience rising in our lives. We will see it clearly. But if we are impatient, then we know where it leads us to. So practically speaking, we develop patience when we claim the promises in the Bible. You can always have patience when you always refer to the promises in the Bible. This afternoon, I was telling my Sunday school children that there's one thing that we should never forget, Hebrews chapter 13, when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can imagine going through a problem, sickness, job, stress, whatever it is, and then it's not going through, and remember that God said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe in that? Do you trust that? If you trust it, then it should enable you to wait. Because God is the one who is seeking. And he said he will never leave you. It means even in that situation where you are, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you. So if God is with you, what is your problem? Even in the problem, he is with you. So you see, you trust in the word of God, in his promises. And that will enable you to have patience. When you feel like giving up, then you refer to the word of God. Read it and memorize it. Write a verse and meditate on it. And it works. It works. When you are suffering and you are praying and you are not getting the answer, go through scriptures. There will be something that will give you hope. Because God has promised so many things. And like I said, all those things that God has written in the book are for us. In every situation that you go through, there is a verse that will enable you to go through every situation. That's why we say that everything in the Bible was written for us. That's why I was telling my boys this afternoon that we don't have prophets again. Because all we need is in the scriptures. Everything that we need to know, whatever we go through in this world, is in the scriptures. The solution is in the scriptures. So whenever you are going through any problem, you refer to scriptures. Memorize it. And then it will take you out of that situation. Let's look at Romans 15 verse 4. Therefore, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All the promises and assurances in the scriptures are for us. And the reason why they are for us is that then through them we can have patience and comfort from the scriptures. That's why I said earlier on, if you don't have patience, then you don't believe in God. So we have to wait for the Lord. Like Psalm 130 said, more than the watchman wait for the morning. What he said, the watchmen, you know, in the Old Testament times, there were watchmen who were vigilantly guarding the city because of enemies. They were always guarding them in the night. And then they are looking for enemies who might come to attack them. And such men were always alert and obedient. They will be waiting and looking for enemies. But once they are waiting, they know that the morning will come. Definitely, once there's night, there'll be morning. And then they can rest. So you see that, he said, as the watchman waits for the morning. Psalm 130 verse 6. In the same way, your time will come that God will answer you if you have patience. The example he's giving here, the people know that definitely there will be the morning once there's night. And the time will come for them to go. So if you are tempted to give up on God or to go ahead without him, then let's look at what he has said in the scriptures. There is something here in Isaiah chapter 30 that the Israelites did. And let's turn there quickly. Isaiah chapter 30. I'll just read the verse 1 and 2. He said, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Then walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Here, during the time of Israel, there were powerful enemies like the Assyrians and the other ones who were threatening Israel all the time. And they were living in fear all the time of this Assyrian, this mighty nation that was surrounding them. And one of Israel's goals was to help them respond correctly. But one time, Israel became very impatient. This story. At the point, Israel became impatient. Instead of waiting for the Lord, they took things onto their own hands. Instead of resting, they ran. See, the verse 1 and 2, he said, because their patience had run out, God's people decided to take things into their own hands. And as a result, God called them rebellious children. You see what he said, the rebellious children. And he said, they were adding sin to sin. Just by being impatient, not trusting in God. He's talking about his counsel, not seeking his counsel, not seeking his direction or his advice. So he was saying that they were adding sin to sin. And God is calling them rebellious children. So if you don't have patience, you will definitely rebel against God. And it's a very serious thing. And we all do such things in our lives, don't we? We rush ahead and do things without waiting on the Lord. So here you see that the key phrase there is that without taking counsel of me, they did not seek his face and wait on him at his right time. And I think it's a very, very good description of impatience, how people become impatient. Instead of consulting the Lord, sometimes we often do our own thing. And then the Lord says that because of that, they will withdraw from them, and all their efforts will backfire. Then in verse 3, it says, but Pharaoh's strength or protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shame will bring you this disgrace. You see what God said, because of what they have done, he will strengthen, Egypt will be strengthened, and he will disgrace the people of Israel because of impatience, because they did not wait on the Lord. I read something, and I think I will just share with you. It was a magazine, and they were talking about the annual cost. You know when people run into red light? A lot of people do that, both here and UK, wherever, people do that. And this is from US. He said that the annual cost of running red light in medical bills and car repairs is $7 billion. That's what he's saying. This is a true story. They said that the annual cost of running red light in medical bills and car repairs is about $7 billion. You know what $7 billion can do? Because of impatience. People can't wait for the light to go green. And because of that, the nation is spending $7 billion on medical bills and car repairs. It is never advisable to do that. And do you know one thing? Sometimes, if you run through red light or you drive fast, and you save just about 2 minutes. Sometimes it's not even 2 minutes. You don't save anything. It is all the work of Satan. He has built that impatience in us. And this is what is happening to you. So what did the people do? They did not consult God. And God said they were adding sin to sin. And because of that, he will leave them for the people of Egypt to come and destroy them. So what should they have done? Let's go on to verse 18. On that same Isaiah 30. He said, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that ye may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. Blessed are they that wait for the Lord in whatever you are going through. So if you wait on him, you will experience his grace and his compassion. And he promised to bless those who practice patience. That's what he's saying in verse 18. He will bless them that practice patience. And friends, remember when you are tempted to give up or speed up, think about this. Israel was shamed and they were humiliated when they didn't wait on the Lord. And the same thing with us. In every situation that we go through, if we are not prepared to wait for the Lord, we will run into a disaster. Friends, let's battle for this unbelief or impatience by using the promises of God in His word. What would that promise do? To persuade our hearts that if God has said it, then I will have to wait. If He said He will never leave me nor forsake me, then whatever I'm going through, I must have patience and wait, because He will never fail you and God would never be late. And like I said earlier on, His time is always the best. What we think is His time is not His time. Let us also look at what Isaiah 2 said in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. Said, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither had the eye seen, O God, beside him, what He has prepared for him that waited for him. So we don't know what God has prepared for those who wait for Him. So friends, it pays to wait on the Lord. It pays to have patience and leave Him to do things His own way, rather than doing it in your own way. Let's look at another way of cultivating patience. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Sorry, I have to turn to a few things. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Long-suffering here is referring to patience. As we define patience, people who are prepared to wait, knowing that God is in control. Long-suffering is bearing what you are going through, trusting that God will deliver you from it. So you see, there we are also encouraged to clothe ourselves with patience. Without that, we will run into a disaster. So in order for us to be patient, let us always trust in the word of God, His promises and His assurances. Now look, we'll just go through a few Bible verses. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, remember what he said. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fears of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, and passion. See, if you don't have patience, these are what you cultivate. These are the evil things that you do. That's what I said in the beginning, that the devil uses all that against us. He is the one that brings about all this impatience, knowing that it will lead to this kind of things which is not pleasing to God. So it's very, very, very important that we have to take anger and all those things away and put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Like I said, patience is a very complex word in the Bible. Somewhere it's called long suffering. Somewhere it's called temperance. And it's all one thing. You must have that patience in your walk with God. A patient person has the ability to suffer for a long time, especially when you know that God is in control. Now, how do we cultivate this patience, which is our topic for tonight? There I refer to Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You see? Let see other people that they are better than you. If you have this in mind, no matter what anybody does to you, you have patience and wait and control your anger. If you cultivate this, say, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem himself as other people as better than himself. The main reason why some people get angry is that they think they are better than other people. So when they do something to them, it's me that you are doing this to me. Who are you? See that person as even better than you, because Christ suffered for all of us. Even he who is God, we know what he went through in this world. So you must also see other people as they are. And also, those who are annoying you, like I said, see them through the eyes of God or Christ. You know what people did to Christ. And there were other people who were being stoned to death, and yet they could say that Father should forgive them for what they don't know what they are doing. You are the Christian. You know better than them. So it means thinking of others' needs, and whereas you think to them as they are better than you, even though you know who you are. You know you are a child of God. There is a story that I read about some people who were in a train traveling in the night, and they were all tired and they wanted to have a rest before they get to their destination. And then there was a child in the train who was crying throughout the journey. People want to sleep and they can't sleep because of this child crying. And then a man got angry and went to the person who was holding the baby and was shouting and yelling at him. And then the man said, He said, take the child to the mother. He said, if you take it to the mother. And then the man said, the mother is in the coffin at the other side of the train, which means the mother of the child was dead. And this man was just helping. Because this man didn't have patience, he was shouting on this man. In the end, when he went to see the situation, he rather took the baby. Because now he has realized that the child is crying because the mother was there. Without impatience, you always cause trouble. And this is one of them. So if you want to be patient, look at other people, understand them, their needs, and then you have, and that's what Christ did. You also have to move with people who are patient. They said anger, you can develop anger when you work with people who are very angry. You can do that. So you have to work with people who are patient. Because we said anger is contagious. It can affect you. So Proverbs chapter 22 verse 24 said, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Let thou learn his ways and get a share of thy soul. So what he's saying here is that don't associate yourself with somebody who usually gets angry. Or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. See, so if we can learn how to be angry, then we by hanging out with angry people, then we can learn also by spending time with those who are very patient, who are long-suffering, and we can develop their virtue as well. So there was another quote from Reader's Digest. I'm sure most of you know that book. There was a man who studied about a particular people. Those Anabaptists, there were some of them from Australia and the Asian area there. And he went to their school to study them. And then This man was amazed to see that nobody in the school screamed or yelled at anybody. Then he asked the principal, why are the children like that, that nobody gets angry? And the principal said that, have you ever seen, they are called Amish, even though they are the Anabaptists. Have you ever seen an Amish adult yell before? He's asking him that if he had ever seen any of those people, their parents, whether it means that they don't yell. And that's how come their children too don't yell. So it means when you associate yourself with somebody who gets angry easier, it's easier for you to be affected by it. In the same way, if you associate with people who are patient, the other way around, you'll be patient in all your ways. So we have to be with people who are patient. James chapter 5 verse 10 to 11 says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We all know the story of Job, what he went through, and he had patience to go through. And we saw the reward that God gave. All what he lost, he had them 10 times and over, because he was patient. So we should learn from people like that. The next thing you have to do is also to release your anger appropriately. And this is the difficult one. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See? So this means that there are right ways and wrong ways to process anger. We all get angry. Nobody here can say that he has never got angry. But then, in your anger, don't sin. So it means there's a positive angry that you will not sin. And then another anger that will lead to transgression. So how do we do that? Some people have given some suggestions here. First, it says you have to suppress it. Suppress the anger. But this is not a good reason, because there's a saying that the cause of depression is suppression or anger turned within. Because if you are angry and you are suppressing it, it will depress you. So that first one wouldn't be there. I know there are people who argue about this thing, but you can't suppress your anger. It will lead to suppression. And then when you come to psychologists and psychiatrists, they are also saying that you have to express it, express the anger. I know in psychiatry, you know, there are some people who have mental problems and this is anger. They easily get angry. And I know what they recommend is that allow him time and space to ventilate his feelings. That's what they said. Allow him, give him time and space to ventilate his feelings. But these are all worldly ways of dealing with anger. Because when we come to the scriptures, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in all. A wise man keepeth it in till afterward. Meaning a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. You see, you have to keep yourself under control. That's why self-control is a virtue that every Christian needs. Then, says, confess it. When you are angry, admit to yourself, own it before God, and then confess to the person that you are mad with. If you are angry, be sincere to yourself and own it to God. It is only God who can help you to control your anger. Because you can never do it on your own. That is why earlier on we said all these virtues are the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives you both patience and all the other virtues. The next thing is also be ready to go through some hard times. You have to be ready to go through hard times. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her complete work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, as you are going through the problems and you have patience, he said that let the patience have its work complete, that you may be perfect and entire. In other books, it says, and whole. God is using that to make you perfect, whatever you may be going through. But without patience, you will stop on the way, and you can never be perfect. So he said that let patience have her complete work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see? So we learn how to be patient by having problems. Then we also have to rely on God. As I said earlier on, you have to rely on the word of God. Without that, you can never have patience. If you trust in God's word and his word and his assurances, you can have patience. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 also gives a challenge. It says, let live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature. If you live by the Spirit, sinful nature is part, the impatience is part of our sinful nature. And if you are living by the Spirit will help you to lead a life of patience. I just want us to see a few things that other scriptures say. In Psalm 27 verse 14, it said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In Psalm 37 verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. You see, so there are Bible quotations that urges us to have patience, to wait on the Lord. Psalm 62, the psalm that we just read, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And when it comes to the New Testament, James chapter 5 verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or the farmer, waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he received the early rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. You see, all these things, we look at farming. You plant your seed and you leave it there. God will make sure it germinates and grows and becomes a mighty plant. The farmer has to wait. There's nothing the farmer can do to let the plant germinate. We have to trust in God. We have to wait in God. In the same way, in our life, whatever we want to do, we have to wait on what God has said. As I'm getting to the end of our lesson, let's see examples of people who waited in the scriptures, and then we saw what happened. We can talk about Noah. Noah was preaching for 120 years, and his preaching was vindicated, because people were saying that he was going mad when he was warning about the wrath to come, the flood to come, and people must run to the ark. People were calling him mad, and people were doing all sort of things to his work there. But he had to wait for 120 years. This man was preaching. In the end, the flood came. So he was vindicated. We can talk about Abraham and Sarah. You know, when the angel was sent to them, they were they were far, far, far above the age of conception. And yet when God told them, they waited, and it really happened. And we know the end. Isaac came, and from Isaac, all the blessings of God. So waiting on the Lord will never lead you to a disappointment. We can talk about Zechariah and Elizabeth, John's parents. We know what happened. They had to wait for a long time. They were barren. They were praying to God. It's not that they were not praying. They were praying to God for God to give them children. We have the same thing with Hannah and Samuel. Hannah prayed for so many years before God gave him Samuel. And we have so many of the faithful ones in the New Testament as well. And especially in our times, as we also wait for the Lord. You know, we are waiting for his second coming. There are people who are saying that, oh, it's been taking so many years, he's not coming.
But we must have patience and wait,
knowing that for God, 1,000 years to him is like a day, and a day to him is like 1,000 years. So friends, we have enough evidences in the Bible that show that we must have patience in our walk with God. Without patience, Satan will get us. He will get us to sin. Because normally when you are angry, you do things that you are not supposed to do. Afterwards, you regret. But if you have patience, you can control your anger. You can wait on the Lord. You can wait until the right time comes. Let us also see the value of patience as we come to the last one. Proverbs 16 verse 12. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who ruleth his spirit than he who taketh a city. That is Proverbs, the most wise sayings on earth. 19 verse 2. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. You see, those who, in another translation, he says, impatience will get you into trouble. As I said, sometimes, most of the times, our sins come out of impatience. Then chapter 14, verse 29, he says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding or wisdom, but he that is hasty to of spirit exalted folly, who is quick-tempered. And in our local balance, or whatever they call it, he said, patience moves mountains. Patience moves mountains. If you are patient, you can move any mountain. And there's a saying also that if you are patient, you can dissect an ant and see all that is in its bowels. There's an Akan saying that if you are patient, you can dissect an ant and get to know everything in the ant. The same thing with us in our work with God. If you are patient, we receive all the blessings of God. We shall be blessed. But without patience, to lead to a disaster. My prayer is that God will help us, strengthen us, and give us this virtue so that we can make our calling and election sure, and also be sure of our entry into eternal life. Let's pray.